Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Legacy Leaders Radio.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Perry with Legacy Leader Radio here in Midtown Atlanta, and we are live today. And we've been off the air a little bit for a couple of weeks. We've had other things that have been coming up and taking our schedule, but we are alive and well today. And we've got an awesome show for you. And of course, I would not have a good or an excellent Legacy Leader Radio show without my excellent producer, Mike Lauer. Mike, say hello.
Oh, you're being too kind, Jack.
I am. I am. I'm just trying to be nice to get along with Mike.
Easy now. I'm pushing the buttons back here.
And it's
been a while since we've hung out.
Yeah. Last time I saw you was we were at a fundraiser, a networking event.
I think you got a few more gray hairs since then.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. So I have to go get that that gray color
that
cover
brush
up. I have to color my hair a little bit this weekend and stuff. So, and that was a great event. You had a good time.
Nice.
And you know, I'm going to ask you for the next few shows. I've always got to ask. I know you're in a new marriage. How's everything going?
Everything's going really, really well. It works when you got the right one. That's all I'm going to say.
Good for you.
It's going well.
That's great insight. Great advice, everybody. Getting the right one. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an excellent show for you today. We've got somebody who I consider a peer and a friend on the show today. We've got Sean Glaze. And Sean is a member of NSA, National Speakers Association, and the chapter here in Georgia. And we got a meeting tomorrow. And I'd like to say hello. Hey, Sean, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me, Jack. Okay. Mike, thank you so much for taking care
of
me.
Not a problem.
Excited to be here and share with your audience.
Well, wait till we get done with the show and see how excited you are.
Yeah, dive in too deep.
Yeah, don't dive in too deep. Sean, you know, I appreciate you being here, and tell us what brings you here, and tell us about what you do.
Hopefully share a little bit of information about what I've been able to do the last many years, and hopefully this is something that will be useful for your audience. But basically joined NSA and had the pleasure of meeting you, Jack, there as part of the board. My background is actually as a high school literature teacher and basketball coach, and it's as a basketball coach that I had what was a little bit of a eureka moment about 12 years in. And yes, I am apparently a slow learner.
where were you coaching at? You can just tell us if you can.
I've been mostly in Cobb County here, just outside Atlanta. I'm not now in Cherokee County, but my background is a basketball coach. I'll give you the brief, maybe five.
Yeah, I want to hear about that aha moment.
A little 5-minute synopsis of what most of my story that led to the team building and speaking was. Basically, you've heard the Daniel Powder song, Had a Bad Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number one song, Billboard charts in 2006. And in 2006, that described my situation perfectly at the end of a region basketball game when I was coaching varsity girls basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone the entire season and won a total of 5 games. Now, that was my very first head coaching position. Before that, had a good bit of experience and a good bit of success coaching guys basketball at the JV level.
Mm-hmm.
And won a lot of games and had what guys with success normally have, which is a pretty inflated ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go into my head.
Yeah.
No, I don't think most guys get
not
that.
Like, yeah, yeah, not like Mike, no.
No, not like me at all.
Yeah. Sorry. Or half our listening audience.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I digress. Go ahead, please.
So I carry a big bucket of ego into my first head coaching position, coaching girls basketball. And coaching girls and guys is very similar. You're still coaching athletes, still X's and O's, and I went in with that same idea. And I'd taken over a program that had won a couple of games the year before. That's part of the reason the position had come available.
Yeah.
We go through that entire season, go in very strong, X's and O's, good strategy. We'd worked all season-long preseason on individual skills, built up individual players. We get to the region tournament and lose. Had a very difficult season.
I'm
sitting there after you go into the locker room after the loss, season's over. You've got a handful of seniors that are sitting on the benches in the locker room, and obviously the other younger girls, they're going to be there the following year. So you tell the seniors how much you appreciate the effort they've put in to building a foundation, and you make sure the others know that we have a bright future ahead, that this isn't where the road ends, et cetera.
Sure.
And you go over to the sink, and Jack, I'm standing there at the sink, and a splash of water on my face, and I look up in the mirror, And that was part of the beginning, because you realize if anything's going to change, I was very comfortable what we were doing offensively and defensively. Strategy wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
X's and O's, skills, those are things that we could handle. And I look into the mirror and I realize if anything's going to change, that's the guy that's got to change first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I walk back into the locker room and the girls are, you know, finishing putting their stuff away, I'm standing next to my assistant coach. And we're discussing, you know, summer plans and summer camp and what we're going to be doing to begin building and hopefully improving. And as we watch the girls leave the locker room, each one of them, there were 14 players there because we brought up a couple of younger mm-hmm. girls from, each one of them left individually. They walked out of the locker room alone.
Hmm.
And I thought to myself, as I'm talking with my assistant coach, said, they're not walking out of the locker room as individuals because we lost. We lost because all season long we've been walking out and walking around as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Now I can speak to that a little bit because I played varsity baseball in high school, and I can honestly say we never left one at a time. It was either like, you know, a couple group would leave at a time or something like that, but that's a big observation to make, because if you're not playing as a team, it doesn't matter how good your offense and defensive yep. strategy is.
And that was honestly the aha moment. And mm-hmm. that summer, we actually designed opportunities for our kids to spend time together off the court and on the court, away from the locker room, away from the basketball floor. So they were building relationships. And one yeah. of the things that obviously I looked into is we would always bring in speakers and business leaders to share yeah. information with our kids. During the week when we would practice late, we'd bring somebody in to build the,
right.
to build the people. You build good people, build good, you know, players, you can have good teams. Well, we started focusing a great deal more on the team building and found somebody that became a tremendous mentor to me. And through that and a number of other, obviously, learning experiences where I began to research and get involved in mm-hmm. ASTD and Southeast Association of Facilitators.
Clarify for the audience, please, ASTD?
Would be Association or American Society of Training and Development.
Gotcha, gotcha.
It's ATD mm-hmm. now, right?
I believe they just did rebrand.
Exactly. Yeah, we were at the conference there.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we were okay. at okay. the latest conference in Washington.
Okay, great.
So to put a bow on the story, Jack
yeah.
and
yeah.
Mike and audience,
mm-hmm.
we go into the following season. We spend a good bit of time really building relationships, and we certainly still focused upon the skills and the strategy, and we got better as a team, but we got better in terms of the chemistry and camaraderie that hopefully we built as a culture.
Okay.
We went from 5 wins that very first season to 19 wins the following season, did go into the state playoffs, and had the exact same starting 5 girls. And the main difference, again, we got better individually in terms of skills, but that wasn't the big jump. The big jump we made was in terms of the culture that hopefully we had some success creating.
Now, if I could just interrupt you there, tell me about resistance from the team, the members, and tell me about if you received any resistance from parents.
Resistance in terms of athletes was never really an issue. In
okay.
terms of parents, that was never an issue because they understood, at least at that level of high school, varsity basketball and any
yeah.
other athletic sport. And you see that that's a good part of being successful as a team is
yeah.
probably building some more of that in. What's been really interesting over the last few years when I began to expand outside of working with athletic teams in high schools and university programs,
mm-hmm.
when I started working with school faculties, when I started working with corporate groups to do professional team building
right.
and carry some of these lessons to other arenas, there was always resistance. And the truth is that when I was a younger teacher, I was one of those that gave resistance to somebody that came in to kind of do something that I don't think was quite as relevant as what I do today.
Right.
And I was one of the eye rollers when somebody comes in to pre-planning as a teacher. Hey, we've got so-and-so coming in to do some team building.
So why'd you do that?
Because I didn't want to waste my time.
Why do you think you're wasting your time?
Because I didn't at that time see it for what it needed to be. And that's one of the reasons, hopefully, that what I do now with groups is far more impactful than what I experienced in my past.
Yeah.
And what many have experienced
yeah.
in under the umbrella term of team
yeah.
building. I think
yeah.
that team building is really 3 things. First off, you're going to have resistance from people who don't think that those activities are going to be relevant to them.
Hear, hear, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem mm-hmm. with far too many team-building programs, as they're called by other vendors, is they go in and it's only an opportunity to build relationships, which there is certainly value in.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that the return on investment for team building is, A, it needs to be relevant, something that they can apply immediately to their circumstances, because return on investment is a change in behavior. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do differently tomorrow or next week or next month in our culture and our interactions as a result of the time we spent? And yeah, you want to make sure they have a great time. You want them to laugh. But more importantly, you want to turn those ha-has into ahas so they change some behaviors.
Well, I'm a firm believer in team building, especially with my background. But my resistance is, if I'm team building with a group of people, I don't want to be the person that fails, or if I screw something up and everybody starts laughing at me, that bugs the heck out of me. I don't want to be that guy. That's what makes me afraid of team building. I remember when I was in my previous life, they would give us a couple of ammo boxes, a rope, a couple of 2x4s, and they would send us out on this trail for about 6 hours, and we'd come across all these obstacles. My fear was always being the guy that wasn't able to tie the knot tight enough, or I was too big or too heavy to be the guy on the, you know, to go across it, and the thing collapses and you got to start all over again. So how do you beat that when you're talking that fear?
That's a tremendous question. Yeah. I think that's something that any participant is going to feel, that stress. And stress isn't always bad.
I want to learn, but I don't want to look goofy and stupid, which I don't like to use the word term stupid. I don't want to look goofy and less than. And my team members.
That's, I want to look equally goofy.
Yeah, equally.
Well, that's man's greatest fear. I mean, women's greatest fear is being abused or hurt by men, but men's greatest fear is being laughed at by women.
Or
other men.
Yeah.
But being laughed at is probably, I think, men's greatest fear.
Yeah, well, okay. Okay, we'll take that.
Well, I think not wanting to fail is something that is probably one of the greatest impediments to any success. I mean, being willing to fail, being willing to...
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure is certainly something that paralyzes people from any type of progress.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's one of the things that you'd encourage them to create: a place of safety, to create a place of enjoyment. We're here to laugh together. We're here to learn together. And the number one thing you're going to learn is about yourself. You know, any type of... You know, John Maxwell is a huge author and speaker, huge fan of his. And one of the great quotes that Maxwell has is, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. You can be a great leader because you have a great influence. You can be a poor leader because you have a poor influence. But basically, leadership is influence.
You bet.
Well, I believe that leadership begins with awareness of myself and what my strengths are, awareness of myself, what my challenges are, and just as much those that surround me that I'm working with toward a goal. And hopefully some of that fear of failure is something that you overcome when I become more aware of myself and more aware of those around me.
Do you teach awareness?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Take us through a scenario. How would you do that if I walked into, I mean, if I walk in and I'm the CEO and I said, you know what, I need some help. How would that go?
Well, the very first thing I would do is continue to ask questions.
Okay.
I don't want to answer until I have a little bit better feel for the landscape and what their issues are.
Yeah.
If you're a CEO and you come in seeking help, first is to congratulate you on recognizing that there may be an issue. Second is to dig deeper. What exactly is that issue? And is that just a symptom or is that a cause?
These people just won't get along. No matter how much I tell them they should be doing this, they just won't get along. And I've been trying to get on them for the longest time. Come in here and do some team building and get them to work.
There is a quote that I'd like to share with your listeners that, again, was one of those aha amazing moments for me as a teacher. Because you stand in front of a classroom, and the very first time you do anything, you realize how bad you are later on. So I feel very bad for that first couple of years of classes that had to put up with me in the front of the room.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you learn, hopefully, as you gain a little bit of experience and wisdom, that telling isn't teaching. And that's not just for teachers. That's for managers. That's for supervisors. That's for principals. That's for coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's for parents. Telling isn't teaching. Teaching occurs when people experience and internalize something.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the greatest lessons that team building provides is that experiential learning isn't me standing on a platform being a sage on a stage. Team building is giving groups, and most importantly, those individuals within the groups, an opportunity to experience something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the awareness comes, Jack, when you debrief. And that's where the magic happens, is not necessarily just in the activity, because any of the team building activities that I would take a group through are basically going to be tools for them to experience what's essentially a microcosm of their daily interactions.
Yeah.
And once they go through that challenge together and they've had the laughter and we sit down, we begin to discuss, okay, A, what happened? How does that relate to your situation? What are some of the insights that it provides?
Sure, sure.
And that's the key, is for instead of it being my information and my content that is poured into them, you want it to be something where they come to their own conclusions. And what really is amazing is when you have a group that comes up with things that you would have never thought of as a facilitator that relate specifically to their circumstances. So if you were that CEO, once I learn we have an issue with trust, we have an issue with communication, we have, and again, this happens in every organization.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
When you give those people that are part of that organization a chance to, A, interact and build some relationships, but most importantly, to go through some of those experiential activities and some of those challenges and then begin to discuss, hey, that's just like when we blank. And the light comes on, and instead of it something that they're told and that rolls off of them and never kind of becomes internalized or digested, because it's their insights, they make the changes because they became aware. And I think that, again, awareness isn't something I can wish on somebody. Awareness is, again, you can't teach anything. You can only provide them the opportunity to learn.
Yeah. That's most memorable moments to you doing team building.
That is a terrific question. Yeah. And as I mentioned, I would have been and certainly was in my youth an eye roller. and I saw, why are you wasting my time? Why do we have to go through this stuff? And I think that that, unfortunately, has been for some people a stigma that is attached to certain team building activities, because there is no relevance. There is no return on investment. There is no change in behavior. It's just, hey, let's spend time doing blank. And they don't see the connection between how that applies to let's make it a better work environment, better culture, better interactions, better communication. The probable best moment that I've had as a facilitator speaker is with a large group of teachers in Texas. And you go through the day, and there was a pocket of what were, I'm sure, coaches, much like I had been at one point in my career, who were over in one area of the classroom. And obviously throughout the day, they're moving around, and we're grouping up and doing different activities. But to take those very skeptical eye rollers in the beginning of the event and have them at the end of the event be some of the loudest contributors and some of the most willing and enthusiastic participants, and to come up afterward and say, you know what, I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what we were getting ourselves into, and I really wasn't looking forward to this. But this was amazing. Thank you so much for taking us through it. Those are the payoffs that, that really make it worthwhile.
I've had similar experiences where I've walked into audiences and I've walked into groups of people, and there's, when you start, hey, good afternoon or good morning, my name is Jack Perry and I'll be blah, blah, blah. And you could start sensing and seeing, and even before that, you'll have the event planner or the facilitator come in and go, you know, we've got a little bit of a problem here with some, you know, and you go, okay, I appreciate that. And then usually the people that resist the most are sometimes the people that will come up to you afterwards and go, hey, you know, I wasn't quite sure if I really wanted to be here, but, you know, I really got into, I really dug what you were saying about this. So you did. You got an aha moment out of them, and they got it. And they, and then and for myself, I realized that my view or paradigm of something can be totally changed if I just stop the resistance, open my mind, be open to what I'm going to experience, and be open-minded and learn something and be willing to have my whole view and my paradigm changed.
I think that's huge, Jack. You know, one of the other lessons that I think that those of us that have at some time carried around a bucket full of ego eventually, hopefully, have our eyes open to is the importance of vulnerability. And it's not my job to be perfect. It's not my job to be all-knowing. My job is to hopefully provide a little bit of takeaway and inspiration and enjoyment. And something that's relevant. But to be in front of a group and to have those faces that aren't really sure if they're in the right spot for the right reasons, and to, by the end of an event, to have won them over and to have them be advocates for and understand the value of what you're providing is tremendous.
Are all your team building events indoors?
Yes. And honestly, it depends upon the client, what their circumstances are.
Okay.
We actually just had an NSA convention in San Diego. Mm-hmm. That was my very first time having traveled to California, go all over the country.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Tremendous convention. Really enjoy NSA. It was my very first convention. And, and again, you kind of drinking through a rock water hose.
Fire hydrant.
The cliche metaphor. Yeah. But one of the things that I had become a little bit aware of because of speaking with a previous client was the weather. And having lived in the Southeast for all my life, you enjoy Atlanta weather, but if you don't like it, wait 10 minutes, it'll change. Well, you go to San Diego, and I think that, you know, it's 75 degrees and sunny at midnight. It's just gorgeous. And I had a call from a client who said that they were planning to have an outdoor event a couple of years ago. And, of course, as a facilitator, well, what would be our situation? Are there indoor facilities if there was a problem with the weather? Sean, have you ever been to San Diego? No. Weather won't be a problem.
Won't be a
problem. But the NSA convention was amazing, so I was really thrilled to be able to go and make that trip with not just the many board members from NSA Georgia, but to meet some of the people that you do look up to that, you know, are such sources of knowledge and inspiration as we continue to help, you know, people in all kinds of industries.
Let's backtrack a little bit. So I'm a coach of a basketball team, and I just cannot seem to get these guys or girls on track. They get on the court, no matter how much I talk to them, they're all individuals, and I can't seem to get them to work together as a team. They're afraid to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball. This person doesn't like that person because of their eye color or their skin color or something. And I really, you know, we all just want to win. How on earth, as a coach, how do we approach that? How do we approach that?
That is a question that I think far more than just coaches struggle with and wrestle with, Jack. And that's as a manager of a sales force, as a principal of a school faculty, or certainly as a coach of any athletic organization, you're looking for that unity. And I think that there are two things that are the main ingredients that are necessary for team unity. The first is connecting to a goal. What is the compelling goal that is so large that I can't accomplish it by myself? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't need a team.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that compelling goal? And then just as importantly, if that compelling goal is a picture, then what is my part of the puzzle and how does my piece of the puzzle end up being a valuable part of that picture? I think too often employees become disengaged or athletes become disengaged because they're down at the end of the bench or because they don't see the value and they're not shown appreciation for what they are contributing. And every member of a team is there because they contribute something, because they add some value, hopefully. So the first is connecting each of those members of the team to a goal. What is the compelling goal that we need more than just one person to accomplish? And the second, I think, by far the most often overlooked is connecting team members to each other. Okay. And that's where a lot of the team building comes in. And team building does absolutely include making sure that there's a focus on and a reminding of, here's the goal that we're seeking you. This is the umbrella purpose. But it's the people that achieve the purpose. It's the people and those relationships that drive everything.
Mike, when you were playing sports in college, right?
I did it in Mural in college, but I supposed to did it in high school.
How did you know when you were a winning team? Besides the score.
Right.
Even if you lost, how did you know you
winning? It's a morale thing. I mean, you can tell by body language. I mean, you can almost, it sounds weird, but you can almost kind of smell it.
Yeah.
When the momentum, but see, the funny thing about sports, and especially, you know, in baseball, it's a long game, but the momentum can shift. So then you think you're the winning team and you feel it, and then all of a sudden that's gone, and you can feel that too. And it takes a mental push to get it back.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was, on my military career, when I was flying, I always had good crews on board the aircraft, and our big thing was that male macho. We had women as well, and they definitely held their own, and they were some of the, you know, toughest and most professional aviators and crew members as well as my males. But there was just something about it when you had. And I'll go back to what you said, Sean. When you had a common goal or a mission in my world, everybody knew what the mission was. We knew what steps had to be taken to get there, And nobody wanted to be the person that let the other person down. That was our big thing. Nobody wanted to be the fail, because they knew if one person failed, the whole team failed, and so we didn't want that ever to happen. And it takes time, and you got to have some aha moments, and you got and I believe it starts with getting to the person. You've got to get to that person to be able to do that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, building the person, and I think building trust, and there's certainly been a great deal written over the last few years about the importance of trust, and businesses moving at the speed of trust. And one of the things that I share with groups that I work with is I believe trust, and to work with metaphors and images that are kind of memorable, trust is a three-legged stool, and it can't stand on one leg. You know, trust is a three-legged stool that is something that can be built and lost in an instant, certainly.
Yeah.
But those three legs are basically, A, your competence. Can you do what you say that you're supposed to do? And that relates specifically to what you're talking about in your military career. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that you're the one that doesn't let go of the rope. You want to make sure that you're the guy that doesn't let others down.
Yeah.
Can I do what I say I'm going to do? If that is, as an athlete, I need to make sure that I'm getting that hit 3 out of 10 times. As a salesperson, I've got to make sure that I'm able to close that deal that the rest of my organization is anticipating.
Yeah, yeah.
So competence in jobs is the first leg. The second I talk about that I believe is the most important of the three, perhaps, Jack, is concern for others.
Hmm.
And we've all been in situations where we know somebody does a job really well. And I'll go back to that sales situation. You probably all sat in a dealership where you know the salesman is really good at his job. He knows his product. The question in the back of your mind is, does that guy across the table really care about me?
Yeah, good
point.
Is he
in it for himself, or is he in it to really help me? I had a great experience at a VW dealership just this past week. My daughter got her very first vehicle, VW Beetle, just turned 16. And
what a dream car for a 16-year-old
girl. She was loving it right up until...
You got a convertible, right?
Not the convertible. But she was loving the vehicle for that 2 weeks right up until it broke down. And so we take it into the dealership, and about $1,400 later, after we put in alternator and put in a pulley, and says, Mr. Glaze, we have some other issues, but I wanted to make sure I gave you a call because it may be your transmission. And before we take care of items and issues A, B, and C, I don't want to nickel and dime you for that, because if it's the transmission, you don't want to waste your money there. You just want to go ahead and get rid of the vehicle.
Mm. Okay.
And for him to have taken the time, and as simple an illustration as that, to say, you know what, I'm not here to take advantage of you. I want to make sure I'm honest and that I think about you first. I think that concern for others, you know, that begins to build relationships. In a work environment, you know, are you taking care of just your to-do list?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you looking across the cubicle or across the floor and you see somebody else who has a stack a little bit higher and, hey, how can I help?
How can I help you? Yeah.
You know, that concern for others is the second. And then the third stool, leg, I think, is commitments kept. Do you do what you say you're going to do? And, you know, every leader, every organization has certain things that they emphasize. As a basketball program, we were always on time. And, you know, if you were on time, oftentimes that was considered, you know, we would be 5 minutes early.
Yeah.
So whatever that is, you know, what is that commitment that in terms of relationships that you need to keep? And once you recognize those three legs, I guess, specifically for the commitments kept, I think it's normally the smaller commitments. People will focus upon the big commitments.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the small things that sometimes people remember. So those are the three, you know, think in terms of building trust. It's not, trust isn't an organizational thing. Like you mentioned, trust is a person-to-person thing.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. And as a leader, I'm going to build trust throughout my organization by making sure I over-communicate, by making sure that the people throughout that organization know that I'm concerned for them, that I feel empathy toward their situation, their needs, and that I keep the promises that I make.
Yeah, I refer to that, and it's probably kind of hard, as cheap leadership. People that leadership that does not keep their commitments to their constituents, to their employees, to their people that they are responsible to. And I think it's okay to ask somebody, can I trust you? I do. I think if I'm doing business with somebody on a handshake, or if I'm going to buy a car, if I'm going to have some construction done on my house, and look somebody in the eye and say, hey, can I trust you that you'll do this? And you'd be surprised some of the responses you get. If you get somebody that starts to tap dance or says something, you know, I find that, well, why on earth would you ask you a question like that? I'd go, okay. If he was trustworthy or she was trustworthy, they would be comfortable with saying, sure you can.
And that would be an immediate response rather than the antennas having to go up.
You better believe it. Yeah, you better believe it. Tell me, I've got some of your, if you can, I know it's probably proprietary, but what are some of your exercises that you do for team building? Is there one you could do with Mike and I? Or I'm probably not here, but what are some of your exercises, some of your I want to know what some of your exercises are without giving anything away.
It would be admittedly difficult to describe them. I'm sure that your audience probably doesn't want to sit through my long, drawn-out description of, and this would be the number of participants, and this would be the activity resources. But basically, and as I mentioned earlier, I think, Jack, that there are literally hundreds of team building activities, and you can look up on the internet if you wanted to and just Google team building activities. You can find booklet upon booklet upon booklet that describe different activities. There are a set collection of activities that I've found are most useful. And again, for me, I think it's far more important to engage a group in meaningful activities that are relevant to their circumstances that are going to eventually open that door to some meaningful debriefing that, as I said, the whole payoff is, how does this change the organization's behavior? How does this change interactions amongst the individuals in that group? So whether it's small group or large group, there are certainly different activities based upon, is it a group of under 30 or a group of 50 to 100 or a group of 200? So you have some go-to exercises that I certainly use, and I have, you know, kind of the group that with just about every large group that I'll always use, and some with a small group that I'll always use. But basically, it's the group and their issues and their circumstances that determine what that proposal is going to include. The payoff, obviously, though, is always whatever the activity is. That's just a simple tool, and you can come up with a team building activity, you know, in the back of your hand. It's just use that as a tool so that after having experienced that challenge, after having to work together through whatever it was that they were doing in that activity, how does that then relate to their daily practices? And whether that is an athletic group or a corporate group, everything still comes down to those relationships and those goals.
Yeah, that's. I've been on team building activities where they're outside. We had to like some. I don't know. It's scavenger hunt type.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Those kind of activities and. Combat. We one of the teams. One of the exercises I've done before is combat tic tac toe. Yeah, Mike's giving me that look. Like, what the heck?
What the heck is that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious to hear about the tic tac toe.
Oh, combat tic tac toe is when you do instead of having just two vertical lines and two horizontal lines, you go three vertical lines and three horizontal lines, and you give people a designated time. You said, okay, you got 30 seconds. You got to steal X's and O's, all vertical, horizontal, diagonal. Whoever gets all four in a row is the winner. And so go. And people start looking at you. And the first thing you want to do, most people, is they want to argue with it and say, well, that's not how we play tic-tac-toe. I said, of course not. That's why I'm calling this combat tic-tac-toe. But wait a second. Meanwhile, you got 45 seconds left. And they're going, okay, now they start trying to figure out how to play the game, and there's a secret to it and a method to it, and there's a purpose behind that. And then when it's done and we give them the potential solution for it, it's a big aha. And the first thing people want to do when we start the exercise is the first thing they want to do is I'm taking you out. No matter what, I'm going to beat you. I don't want to give too much away, but there is a method and a technique to it where we both get a win-win out of the combat tic-tac-toe.
And there is, you know, in whatever activity that you're going to implement, Jack, I think that's, again, as long as it's engaging and memorable, and oftentimes it'll be cheesy, but that memorable, experience is something they're going to carry with them. Mm-hmm. You know, something as simple as you mentioned in a very, very small group. And normally teams are going to be, you know, anywhere between 7 and 8 for a management team, yeah. up to over 200, depending upon what your situation is.
Yeah.
But one very simple activity is arm wrestling. And everybody's heard of arm wrestling.
Yes.
But you're sitting at a table, and, of course, you have them lock hands at the wrist, and you explain, all right, for this arm wrestling, you're going to have 45 seconds. Your job is to earn 1 point for as many times as you can touch your partner's wrist to the table.
Sure.
So they battle, and I'm going to win, and I'm going to take this guy down. And you see all kinds of effort, and you got guys who are salesmen that are just straining because they're not going to lose, and they're going to take the other guy's arm down. And the absolute funniest moment is when, at the end of that time, the people that win, that yeah. get the greatest points, have worked together, and they allow the other person to win as long as they can win. And yeah. so they go back and forth, and it's that real cheesy, brief experience
exactly.
that offers the aha.
Yeah, and I'll go out here for a second. It was the late Stephen Covey did an exercise, and I'm intimately familiar with his work and what he does. And he did an exercise with somebody very famous, did the exercise on national TV. And this person said, "No, I'm not going to let you win. I'm going to take you down." And so they didn't. So she, when she finally figured out go for the win-win with each other, mm-hmm. then it was a lot easier to cooperate and move along and get along. And I can't divulge who that person was, but if you ever take one of the courses, you'll know, you'll find out who that person was. But it was it's easier to go for the win-win. So on the combat tic-tac-toe, the solution is, hey, Mike, you win the first round, I'll win the second one. I win the second one, you win the third one, and go back and forth. And then when the time's up, we go, yeah, we're both winners. You know, so what's easier? Is it easier for me to go to war with Mike, or is it easier for me to cooperate with Mike and go for the win-win? Go ahead.
Well,
and Sean says,
You just lit up my eyes, because as a coach and yeah. as a father and as a past competitor, team building is something that if you had told me I'd be facilitating and speaking on this topic yeah. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have probably laughed you out of the room.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I was absolutely competition beats cooperation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, I think part of that was probably ego and wanting to do
sure.
way too much on my own and not mm-hmm. realizing the power of the group dynamic.
Yeah.
And recognizing my weaknesses and appreciating others' skills. But I do think that sometimes team building and activities like you've discussed end up getting a bad rap because people believe that we're turning into a win-win society and nobody's held accountable and it's a juice box world for our kids and the minor league and little league stuff because
yeah.
there's no score being kept. And I don't think this has anything to do with lowering standards.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, specifically for any organization that would pull me in, the reason that they're wanting to work together better is because they are competing. But they mm-hmm. want to make sure that cooperation allows them to have a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's basically what team building offers, is a competitive advantage over groups that may have talent but may not have that teamwork that propels them forward to a far different area.
I had a I read a story I was recently about a young lady that was in high school playing high school women's basketball. And she was on the team, and she couldn't understand why one young lady would never pass her the ball. This one lady was always a grandstander. She would never pass the ball. Even if she was in a position where she'd get the shot, she would never pass this other girl the ball. And it was really bothering this young lady, and she went home one night and told her dad, said, "Dad, I'm really upset. I'm angry because this young lady, you know, my teammate, will never pass the ball, even though I'm in a better position. She'll give it to somebody else, but never passing the ball." And her dad, and he said, "Dad, what am I going to do? How can I fight her to fight this girl, get her on my side?" And the dad looked at her very calmly and said to her, "Well, the next time you get the ball, just give it to her." She goes, "What? That's not right. Why would I give it back to her?" Her dad said, "Next time you get the ball, just give it to her." So she did do that. The other girl was kind of shocked and amazed. Said, "Why on earth would this young lady, this friend, give me the ball after all the times I would not give it to her?" And finally she realized that it was a win-win. It was a win-win. she did not stoop down to her level. She taught her something about her three C's: competence, conscience, and commitment, keeping a commitment. And she taught her, or it wasn't all about her, it was about the team. And so when she gave the ball back, it just totally blew this other girl's mind, her paradigm, that I don't have to be angry, mad, ticked off. I can be a cooperative player. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that all too often in far too many fields, people see kindness as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kindness, you know, that vertebrates have their strength, their toughness on the inside, you know, that mm-hmm. backbone. But the idea of, you know, it is the soft stuff that's always the hard stuff for any organization, for relationships. And
and
those relationships, that's a tremendous illustration of, you know, all relationships are give and take, but the first part of that is give.
Give it back.
And that reciprocity that develops and the connection that develops, I'm sure, allows and opens door for how much more did those two girls end up being able to interact successfully, and how much better does that team end up performing, simply because it's something that's an interpersonal issue that then opens the door to far greater performance.
Yeah, and going for the win-win, and then compassion, and then acceptance of the other person, understanding that it's not all about me, it's about the team winning as a whole rather than me trying to win or grandstand as an individual. Tell me, how do we get a hold of you?
You can find me online.
Okay.
If you just Google Great Results, mm-hmm. it's greatresultsteambuilding.com. Twitter, it's @leadyourteam. As you mentioned, you know, it's something in terms of web. You can pretty much Google just about anything and find me pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But would love to be able to assist any of your audience however I can. And we have a number of resources there on the website that are available on the resources page that are, you know, free, easy downloads for them to use with their people.
Great, great. You know, the theme of the radio show is Legacy Leader Radio. So if I was to ask you, which I will, in your words, in your mind, what does a great leader look like, a person that leaves a positive, lasting legacy? What does that person look like to you in your eyes?
Growing up in Georgia, mm-hmm. very familiar with the Georgia Bulldogs, Mark Richt is someone who I think is a tremendous leader. And he actually just had an article published, I believe it was in the Macon Telegraph, where somebody had done an interview and had spoken with Mark Richt about Paul Oliver, who had taken his own life a couple of years ago, and that there is now the Oliver Foundation, where Richt and other coaches have put together a support system for players who have left the University of Georgia program
mm-hmm.
and may be struggling somehow, that they always have that safety net of relationships and support and encouragement, because he never wanted that to happen again. So that they help to place people in jobs. They help to, you know, again, give those people the support because they were part of his organization. They're part of his team, part of his family. I think every leader wants to leave a legacy, and a legacy is very simply the sharing of values with those that you have a chance to come in contact with and to build a relationship with. And so if I've left a legacy with my previous players, it's because hopefully I've invested enough in them and they understand that I'm interested in their well-being far beyond the time they leave that basketball court.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as a sales manager or as a principal or as a leader in any organization, my job is to invest in and support and encourage my people to help them get where they want to be and to be successful where they are now. But most importantly, again, I think it's as that support system, as an encourager. Every member of a team, you talked about failing and being afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. Every member of a team is going to make a mistake. There's no basketball player, there's no baseball player, there's no salesperson who is gone to work and not made a mistake that day. And as a good leader and as a good teammate, my job is to help to pick them up, to help to lift them up and let them know that somebody's there and A, is aware of their efforts and helps them to improve and build whatever skills. But more importantly, they have that relationship. And I think that team building basically boils down to relationships and building that sense of shared purpose.
And your legacy will be?
the greatest feeling I think a coach enjoys mm-hmm. is not the wins. You know, oftentimes wins, you kind of let out a sigh and you're glad that you didn't lose. The joy that a coach has, and hopefully the joy that most any leader has, is in seeing the people that they have an opportunity to interact with to continue to grow and be better people and share those values. And, you know, when you get that call from somebody saying, "Hey, Coach Glaze, just wanted to check in, let you know I'm doing such and such," or "I wanted to see if you'd come to my wedding," or "I want to let you know I just got a job with so," you know, those are the calls that it's about the relationships.
And, yeah.
And certainly you want to win ball games and you want to be successful as a program in whatever organization you're a part of. But I think that leaders, and we're all leaders because mm-hmm. we all build relationships. My job is to make sure that that person, when they leave me, is a better person for it.
Very good. I like that. That's very, very good. That's a great one. I asked you this question before we started the show today, and I prepped you for it. And so I don't think we're going to be scrambling for any notes or anything here. But based upon our current situation in our country, and if you had a room full of politicians, and we don't get into politics on this show, we don't do specifics, so we'll just keep that in mind. But you can if you wish to. And you had a room full of politicians, and they said, "Sean, brother, come in. We need a team building exercise to get this country moving to where it needs to be. How would you approach that? Do I need to set that up anymore, or what?
Am I getting the government rate?
The GSA rate? If you're getting the GSA, don't take me down that path, man. If you get the GSA rate, yeah, here, fill this out, and I'll see you in 6 weeks.
No, you know what? I love the question, Jack, and I appreciate you sharing that. And it's something when you shared it earlier, I was very much intrigued by, because those two sides of the aisle could probably not be any more staunchly opposed to one another at times. And I go back to, you mentioned Stephen Covey earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seek first to understand and then be understood.
Habit five.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that, again, leadership is certainly influence, but leadership begins with awareness. So certainly one of the activities I would incorporate into that day would be an opportunity for them to cross the aisle and begin to build relationships, become a little bit more aware of each other mm-hmm. and their backgrounds and their desires, because the more I know about you, the more I can understand you. And the more I understand you, the more I care about you. The more I care about you, the more I'm willing to work with you. And that's true not just in Congress, but in any organization. And probably the one activity that would be hilarious to see is called welded ankles. And that basically requires that a group of four or five, depending on how you group up mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in a large group exercise, has to keep their ankles together and get across the floor from point A to point B.
I love it.
Without losing contact. And then there are obviously consequences for if the ankles come apart. Then
you mean like belts or wires or bundle ties? Or
on their honor. So they have to keep their ankles together.
Oh, so they're not physically tied, but they have to keep them together.
Exactly. So it goes back to my discipline and my intention.
Integrity.
And integrity. And I love the word integrity, and you touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
And the great quote that I heard about integrity is basically looking behind the message and still seeing the message.
Looking behind, yeah. And still, okay, gotcha. You know, I'm tracking on that one, yeah.
But the idea of giving people an opportunity to have to wrap an arm around somebody that you're not comfortable with, perhaps, mm-hmm. or somebody mm-hmm. that you may not share, you can certainly disagree without being disrespectful. And you can certainly recognize the bigger picture. And I think sometimes that's what in politics and even on any team
yeah.
we sometimes lose sight of, is we're together to accomplish a compelling goal that requires both of us mm-hmm. and both of our skills and both of our backgrounds and perspectives.
Weren't we put in office to serve our
constituents? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to disagree with you because my ego is going to get in the way, and then I'm more concerned with that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I was about to get on my political bandwagon here, and I can't. I don't want to do that. Mike, jump in whenever you're ready.
I mean,
you're supposed to save me on this, brother.
I'm biting my tongue on this one too, Jay. No, that's interesting. I was just imagining Nancy Pelosi trying to walk down with ankle and ankle with a bunch of other politicians. It's interesting thinking about how and to not actually be bound, and that making it a choice to, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is. I like that. Yeah. It's Sarah Palin, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ankle to ankle.
You have to plan that out too, making sure that people that need to be working more as a team are working more as a team. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, that's.
I'll be waiting on the call.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? why not? Hey, as we get closer here, towards the top of the show here, I want to tell me about in your position. Tell the audience about NSA Georgia, and let's invite some folks to come. I'm a member of NSA Georgia, but once you talk about it, we want to invite people to come to NSA Georgia. Go.
Well, tomorrow is going to be a tremendous opportunity for people in the area. Please go to NSA Georgia. You can Google that and pull up our website. Tomorrow we have Waldo Waldman, who is an all-star. He is a CPAE. He is a certified speaking professional. Waldo is actually homegrown. He's from Atlanta. He is a fighter pilot who now goes around the nation and giving tremendous keynotes on teamwork and working together and being a wingman. Mm-hmm. But Waldo is going to be sharing both in our morning session from 8:30 to noon, in our afternoon business booster session, which is where you have the opportunity as a speaker to then apply some of those ideas to build your business. But basically, National Speakers Association Georgia as a chapter is set up, again, as a resource for people who are seeking to be speakers, trainers, facilitators, anybody who in their position is working with groups and hoping to share valuable messages.
Yep.
We do a tremendous job of providing resources and support and just a great kind of web of connections that are tremendously useful.
Yes, and guests are invited first time, free.
First-time guests are free this Saturday, and we'll have another chapter meeting each month. Our next will be August 19th, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
But again, all of that would be on the website, NSA Georgia.
Good, good. That's good. I always ask my guests a couple of questions before they depart. One of the questions I'm going to ask you is, what's your theme song? So tomorrow when you walk in the NSA Georgia meeting and then they say, oh, my gosh, here comes Sean. And he said, cue up his music. What would that song be, brother?
Well, I got a list. But we'll go to the one that is probably the cheesiest and the most memorable, Team Building Roots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Bill Withers, 1972, Lean on Me.
Nice.
Oh.
Well done.
Yeah, very good. Classy.
That's very apropos.
Yeah.
And relevant.
Good. Yeah.
But don't bump.
Mike perked up.
I'm a Bill Withers fan. What can I say?
It's good. I like that. That's good. And okay, how about this? You weren't prepared for this one. Yeah, his eyeballs are rolling. He just became an eye roller. Yeah, just became an eye roller.
All right.
How about a movie that represents the essence of who you are?
Movie that
represents that's a whole new spin
of who I am.
Yeah. Do you have an answer in mind, Jack? I'm trying to think of mine right now too. That's why I'm not answering.
I don't know. I'm caught between. I'm a big fan of Caddyshack.
Okay.
Somehow Caddyshack always pops into my mind. I was sitting in a very nice golf course the other day in Peachtree City. And having lunch with a lovely friend and sitting there looking out over the greens and a lake and how quiet and serene it was. And you could hear the slight ting, you know, people hitting the balls and everything. And I just, my mind goes to Rodney Dangerfield in that last scene. Hey! I'm thinking, man.
We need that.
Yeah, we need it. You know, just the fact that you just take everything out in left field and then change the whole dynamic and genre. I like that. I'm sort
it's
of
a Cinderella story.
It's a Cinderella. Yeah. No.
Gopher.
Yeah. The gopher. Yeah. I like that. And I'm sure I can think of several more.
Mine's Top Gun. That's
Top
right,
Gun?
Iceman.
Yeah,
I am
yeah.
dangerous.
So you've lost that loving feeling.
That's right.
Yeah. So you've got ours. So.
You got your if you're thinking about Caddyshack in terms of the comedy realm, it would have to be Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Okay.
Good call.
Is that a European swallow or an African swallow? You know, just bring us your shrubbery.
Just bring it.
But, and also probably the one movie that most defines me and that I think is a tremendous example of a lot that I enjoy sharing is Miracle. And the story of the U.S. 1980 hockey team.
Very good.
That's good.
It is just so uplifting and inspiring and contains so many of the different messages that I seek to share.
Kind of blew me out of the water on my Caddyshack with that one, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
kind of put me on serious.
And I went
he went all
too.
Serious on us. Put me on the mat on that one.
I'm changing it to Goodwill Hunting.
You like apples?
Yeah, Goodwill Hunting or...
something more serious. I don't know.
Now you got me.
Schindler's List.
Oh my God! No, oh my gosh! Now we're gonna get calls from people. What are you guys talking about? I notice our tweets are nobody's tweeting and now they're mad. What the heck are you guys doing? It's all right.
That was on me.
That's all right. ladies and gentlemen, as we get to the top of the hour, what do we got? Okay, we got a few more minutes here. I'm going to ask you one more time. How do we find you? How do we locate you? What's your perfect client?
Thank you for that. Again, greatresultsteambuilding.com. Enjoy not just following half and full day team building events, but also available as a keynote for interactive experiences to energize and connect your people. I am really excited, Jack. Hopefully within the next few months, I will be publishing my second book, which is Rapid Teamwork.
Good.
My first was actually a book that is a leadership parable called Fistitude, and that's something that's been really popular with athletic groups, both high school, middle school, college athletes, in terms of leading from where you are, how as an athlete I can be a leader on my team and kind of follow five steps to influence those around me. But Rapid Teamwork is one that is more focused upon management, how you build that team and how you create buy-in and create engagement, and that's something I'm really excited to share as well.
Great. And you'll be NSA, and we've got your book coming out. Is there anything else going on?
No, again, I would very much encourage. We have a tremendous chapter in NSA Georgia.
Okay.
Anyone involved in any aspect of the industry, I would encourage to come out and just visit as a guest, and you're going to want to return. There is such a great dynamic in terms of the relationships and the personalities and the information that you'll glean.
Great. Thank you very much. And a couple of things before we wrap up here. Mike, once again, thank you very much for producing for today's show.
Always a pleasure, Jack.
Okay. And I'd also like to remind the audience that I'm looking at August 1st. I'm going to put that out there officially. I know John Thatcher's listening on the line right now, my PR guru. And 1 August, my book will be released on Amazon and also in hard copy. It'll be available to all our listeners and readers and everybody out there. It's The Other Side of Anger, A Son's Search for Peace. And it talks about my final days with my father when he was alive and learned about some of his behavior, how he showed up in the world, and what we learned from that and what we can share with other people to live a life of positive, healthier lifestyles for the greater good of all mankind. It's good stuff. It's very good stuff, very a little bit heart-wrenching at some points, but it's also very positive information, positive messaging for all who read and all who listen. So, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you all for listening today. This has been Legacy Leader Radio, and we've had the wonderful Sean Glaze on the radio today. Sean, thank you.
I had a great time, Jack. Okay. Mike, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here.